Today is our State of the Church address, and for those of you who've been around for a while, I think you know what's coming. For those of you who are newish in the past year, you're probably excited, thinking that we're going to reveal some great big change in momentum or change in what we're doing, and got bad news for you. We're not. If I could say one thing about Oakwood, and I appreciate this, it's the word consistency. We don't blow to the winds of what's popular. We don't blow with the winds of change of time. We want to preach Christ, Christ crucified, Christ rose again for salvation of your sins and my sins. We want to disciple people. We believe that that's what it's all about. And so while some might say, I heard this last year, you should go home and say, I'm thankful that I'm at a church that's consistent, that stays who they say they are and does what they say they're going to do. And so let's pray us in as we go over who we are and what we're all about. Let's pray together today. If you just say this prayer, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, I pray that you would be glorified and that everyone hearing this would be edified and that Satan would be horrified. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oakwood, what's our motto? Our motto is growing a great family, grounded in faith, guided by grace, and going in love. 10 years ago when I came to this church, I instilled this motto, and some of it comes from who Oakwood has been historically, and Pastor Bob Service did a great job of growing a great family here. And then we want to make sure that we're grounded in faith. That's the key, the foundation. Never changes. I don't think you need to worry from one Sunday to the next when you come into Oakwood if the foundation has changed, if we've shifted, went on to another track or whatever you want to call it. No, we stay grounded in faith, and that's God's word. And then guided by grace. And I always say this each year, and I think it's still true. I think it'll always be true. I think that's the hardest one of the three. God is growing this great family. We don't have to do much about that. And we need to make sure and we protect the fact that we're grounded in faith. But being guided by grace is difficult. Guided by grace means you're thinking the best of people, not the worst of people. Guided by grace means that you give grace abundantly, right? Even if you feel like you've been wrong. Guided by grace means that we stay positive and we speak positively about our church and our God and our community, right? Guided by grace. And there's very little grace in this world today. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Very little grace out in the world today. What makes us different? People can join clubs. I think for 60 or 70 bucks, you can belong to Costco or Sam's. Or you can go to the American Legion. You can go to many places, right? But we're different because we are grounded in faith in Jesus Christ, guided by grace, which you don't get much in this world. And then going in love. We're not content just to be sitting in the pews. We want to be going. If you look on the door on your way out, everyone exits out the way you came. There's a sign above that door that says you are now entering the mission field. You're not all missionaries. I don't want to get that wrong. We have missionaries, sent ones that we send out. But you're on a mission, right? You are on a mission. And the mission isn't in these walls. The mission is out. And so we believe that you're going in love. If you ever want to know what that motto is, just come in the building and look on the wall. It's printed really big out there in the lobby. We keep it preeminent just so that we keep reminding ourselves who we are. And I just want to go back and emphasize the great family. I'm so thankful this is a great family. I know a couple years ago during COVID was definitely not guided by grace. We survived that, thank the Lord. But I had somebody contact me once and said that I addressed you as something other than the great family. And they were making a big deal about that. They were saying that I was saying you're no longer a great family. I must have just said, hello, Oakwood, or something. I don't know what it was. They were really on me. They're like, you didn't call them the great family. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, well, it wasn't intentional. We are a great family. Oakwood has been a great family. We will continue to be a great family. And I thank you for stepping up. This church steps up. The people that sit in these pews each Sunday, you're wonderful people. And I'm blessed to be your pastor. So we are a great family, grounded by faith, guided by grace, and going in love. Now you should know these. Our mission, to multiply Christ-like disciples who are Podcar. Everybody say Podcar. Podcar. You can remember this, okay? You got to put it to memorization if you won't get the tattoo. You're going to have to learn this, all right? But to multiply Christ-like disciples who are Podcar, passionate about their God, obedient to God's word, dependent on God through prayer, connected to one another, authentic and relevant in their witness. Podcar. That's our mission. What's our motto? Growing a great family, guided by grace, grounded in faith, going in love. What's our mission? To multiply Christ-like disciples. And that's not for who you are sitting here. It's for who you are when you leave on a mission. We want you to be passionate about your God. We want you to be obedient to God's word. We want you to be dependent on God through prayer. We want you to be connected to one another and authentic and relevant in your witness. That's our motto. That's our mission. And then how are we going to be on mission? Well, the good news is, church, and I say it every year, we don't have to get creative. Some churches do. Some churches have this meeting once a year, and everybody comes on bated breath wondering, what are we going to do or be like this year? You don't ever have to wonder that at Oakwood. We are the same, because I believe very strongly that God has given every church their mission. We don't get creative and come up with it. It's been given to us by God. And it's given to us by God in two verses, two passages. Number one, the great command found in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. I'll read it for you, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The great commandment. Everybody say great commandment. This is what God gave us. What are the two big rocks that you put into your life and that you must put in first? The two big rocks: love God, love people. Those are the big rocks. Remember last week, it's funny, afterward people were coming up and helping me. Ryan came up and he's like, "Well, if you poke a hole here, you know, it could fit more water down the side, it would go flow." And I'm thinking to myself, I think that was my point. We got to stop overflowing our lives with a bunch of stuff, right? We got the water, we got the sand, we got the little pebbles, and we leave out the big rocks. I'm stepping on one of the rocks that got away last week right now. See? We put in so much stuff that our lives have no margins. And then we find out we haven't been loving God, we haven't been loving people, and that's the center of the mark. That is the bullseye for God. God tells us what the bullseye is for his church, for his people, that we would love him with everything we got and love people more than we love ourselves. Those are the big rocks. My prayer is that you'll get those in your life every day first before you start putting in the pebbles, before you start filling with sand, before you start putting in the water to fill every missing gap, before you get overwhelmed. I believe that if we put the big rocks in first and we're loving God with all we've got, loving people more than ourselves, a lot of the other stuff will take care of itself. Priorities matter. That's the great command. Everybody say great command. And then there's a second thing called the great commission. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, also given to us by Jesus. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end, the very end of the age." This is the Great Commission. Everybody say Great Commission. Great command, Great Commission. GC, GC. So we call this our GC squared ministry. Oakwood is a GC squared ministry. These are the two big things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Love people more than yourselves and make disciples. When you're doing that, you're doing it. You're doing it, church. We don't think about doing it. We don't plan to do it. What is it, Ryan, that your big thing? I was going to say it last week. It's either one day or day one, right? One day, I'll get around to that. One day, like my wife told me a week ago, one day, coming very soon, all the sweets are going in the garbage. All the carbs are going down the toilet. There's going to be nothing left. One day, right? Well, we hit day one, Ryan. Oh my. Man, I'm missing my sugar. I'm missing my carbs. Just got started. So it's either one day or day one. Hey, church, as your pastor, I'm saying it's day one. It's day one for us, church. Let's get the right things right. Let's get the important things most important. Love God with everything we've got. Love people more than we love ourselves. And let's make disciples. Let's go back to that great suggestion. Thank you. Barry's with me. Thank you, Barry. It's not the great suggestion. I think some churches treat it like that. Some Christians treat it like that. I'll get around to that one day, right? No. This is day one. First Sunday of the new year. Let's get this right. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. He sent us out. And he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." You know this. What is the mission? And don't say go. For years, that was every missions conference. When I was growing up, you know, we'd bring all the missionaries in and they would speak and they'd have a big banner saying, "Go!" And they would refer to this verse saying, that was the command Jesus gave us. He really didn't give you the command go. The go there is no duh. We're in a room, upper room, by the way, and he's leaving. Jesus was saying, "Now you got to go. You can't stay here." Right? I say that to you all the time when people like to linger after church and the deacons are getting angry and they want to go home, they're hangry, and I'll say, "Hey, you don't have to leave, but you can't stay here." Right? I think that go is that silly that Jesus had to actually tell them that. "Hey, listen, guys, I'm going to go. But listen, y'all can't sit up here forever. You're going to go. You're going to leave. You got to go. Downstairs, out the door. Go." No duh. You're not living here forever. The go is not a command. The go is a no duh. The command comes next. While you're going, make disciples. Make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. This is not addition. This is holy multiplication. That's how the church has become the one thing that has never been destroyed. Jesus had 12 followers. Judas betrayed him, replaced him with Matthias, and then we've got 12, and they went, and those 12 changed the world. How did they do it? They went making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and they multiplied, and they multiplied, and here we are today in Ortonville, and all across the world today, people will meet. The church is alive. Why? Because God's plan. No fancy preacher, no celebrity pastor. God's plan was that every church, everywhere, every year has the same mission. It does not change. Now listen, it looks different in different places, amen? Have y'all been to a church in the inner city? If you haven't been, you gotta go. Number one, you'll be thankful that I get you out when I get you out, right? Because in the inner city church, I mean, you get done when they say you're done. Actually, you stay and eat, and then you go back at it again. I've been to church all around the world, and it looks very different. What works in inner city Philadelphia is not what works in Ortonville, right? You understand that. And what works in Ortonville doesn't necessarily work down in Troy. Could be. Doesn't necessarily work in Detroit. Doesn't necessarily work in Africa. Right, Darcy? Yeah, we're going to go, right? We're going September, hopefully. Pastors are going to go to Africa with you. And you've already told me what's different. You told me I got to do things I don't want to do. I got to wear a white shirt and a tie. I don't like wearing a white shirt and a tie. But there's some expectations there. It's different. Is different wrong? No, it's just different. And it's okay. Don't judge other churches. I believe any church that understands their mission goes about their mission and according to their position, and it looks different, but it's still the same mission. Make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I had to teach teens all the time. We went to Brazil. I took kids to Brazil 6 times on missions trip, and I told them they do things differently. One of the weirdest things in Brazil is you don't go out and cut your yard. You go out and squeegee your tile. Tile everywhere. They tile everything. No grass, just tile it. And then every morning you spritz it and you squeegee it. Somebody goes, "Squeegee, what are you talking about?" Squeegee, that's what we do in Brazil. Been in cultures where the mamas wrap the babies up 20 times and it's 110 degrees out. And you're like, "Let the baby live." let the baby breathe. But they're like, oh, no, we got to wrap that baby up. You know, if the baby gets cold, it'll get you cold. Been in the cultures where they don't serve ice. Can't get ice. I learned how to say ice in about 5 languages so I could order it specifically. Jello, I need ice. Give it to me. Like, no jello. Yes, give me ice. I like ice. They don't like ice in a lot of cultures because they think that you ingest cold, you catch a cold. And so everybody does things differently. What I'm trying to say is we're not being high and mighty on ourselves thinking we're the only church getting it right. I believe there are a lot of churches getting it right, and they do it differently. And that's okay. We need to be okay with that. But our mission should never change. How? Disciple. That's the key word, isn't it? We got to define that. A disciple is a student and follower of Jesus. We want to make students and followers of Jesus who also make students and followers of Jesus. We're making disciples, and you're making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We need to take this seriously. Understand the process of discipleship. The process of discipleship is that it's never done. We in America like to, you know, I do what? I do 1 step, 2 step, 3 step, and I get a certificate, I'm done. We're not done. You're not done. We never end. We continue to grow. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been in the church, we expect you to be a disciple, growing, intentional, right? It's intentional. Here's the process: gathering together, growing deep, and going wide. Looks like our motto, looks like our mission, right? That's what discipleship looks like. Are you being discipled? Are you discipling someone else? We ought to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Connection is important. So we're going to encourage you to get in a small group or to start one. Pastor Ted has now been here for 1 year. He has the lay of the land. He understands who Ortonville is. We're not Grand Rapids. He understands that now. And we're different, right? He's got the culture of Oakwood. We're weird, right? Did you see Pastor Ted in a skit? We're banging him on the head with the boom whackers. He couldn't do that in Grand Rapids. Oh, they're a little tight there, right? Little. But here we come, and Pastor Don says, hey, you're going to stand there and wear bells on your feet and jingle them. I'm going to hit you on the head. That's how we rock, all right? And Ted's, he's getting it. I love that. He's got it. He's got the culture. We're different, Oakwood. And now that he's been here for a year, his heart has not changed. The mission has not changed. He knew when he came we wanted to make disciples who make disciples. And so now that he's gotten here, seen the culture, he really is invested in making disciples who then make disciples who make disciples. So we want you in a small group. If there is none, then we need to start some. And I know Pastor Ted's been constantly harping on, who are my next leaders that can start a small group? How do I get started? Well, go to the Oak. That's the kiosk closest to the exit. Go to the Oak or use the app or contact Pastor Ted. All of those things are going to get you to Pastor Ted anyway, right? But if you call the office or go to the app, stop at the Oak, let them know. They'll get that to Pastor Ted. Pastor Ted will follow up. We want you connected. Another thing about connection is echo prayer. This is a new announcement this year, something that we're doing, adding to what we're trying to accomplish, and that is it's been frustrating. Our app doesn't have a really good way of us sharing prayer requests. The website doesn't quite work well for that. And so we've been harping on our companies and trying to get them, but we have found something called Echo Prayer. It was given to me over a year ago. Somebody in our church came and showed it to me. We were having coffee. They showed me their prayer app. I thought that was pretty cool. So I've been using it now for a year for my own personal prayer request. We like it so much that we as a church are going to encourage you to use Echo, and we have an Oakwood feed in this prayer application, okay? It's called Echo Prayer. Echo Prayer is a free app that helps you engage with God. You can get it at the App Store on Apple or the Google Play, whatever you carry. Download it from iTunes or Google Play. Here's what Echo helps you do. Keeps track of your prayers. You can follow churches and ministries' prayer feeds. Be reminded to pray throughout the day. I love that personally. I'm a busy person. Time will fly, and I won't know what happened to it. So every day at 10 a.m., my phone lets me know it's time to pray. So I just get in. I mean, I'm in, getting my feet wet, and Melissa telling me 100 things that I've got to accomplish that day, and I'm like figuring out what's got to happen. And about 10 o'clock, my phone says, hey, let's do the most important things first. And then I have my personal time of prayer. I find that helpful every day at 10 a.m. My prayers. You can easily add and manage your personal prayer requests. So what we're telling you is you can use this personally, or you could just use it for the church feed, Oakwood's feed. We will send out prayer requests. You can add prayer requests, but you need to do something in order to get those. But you can also keep track of your prayers. And there's an answered prayer section. You can edit the prayer if it changes over time. Again, I find it very useful. Feeds, Oakwood publishes prayer feeds that anyone can follow, so we're encouraging you to follow those. I'm going to be ambitious today. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Engage the great family of Oakwood to follow and pray within our ministry. Give reminders. You can set your own customizable reminders to make sure you pray throughout the day. And was there another one? Receive reminders at days and set times that you pick. And before we go into this, we're going to get real creative. How do we get out of here? All right. Is this it? All right. Everybody still with me? Somebody say yes, PD. I left the room because I wanted to show you this. If you look on the screen, if you open up, shall we be dangerous and go back? Yeah, let's go back. Oh, this is the open page. So if you go to the first page, if you go to our website, www.oakwoodcc.org, at the top you have several tabs. One of the tabs says prayer. I'm going to click on that tab. When I click on that tab, it's still under construction, but there's a couple things we're going to point out to you. There's a place where you can click here for placing prayer request. But then there's also everything I shared with you, like where to get the Echo Prayer app is available there for you, and you can sign up on your own. And then by using the Echo app, I'm going to leave and let you put that all back together for me. By using the Echo app and then signing up for Oakwood's feed, you will get prayer requests and be able to share prayer requests. This is one of the items that we as a church have been wanting to do better for so long, and I can't believe nobody's figured out the best way to do this. You use it, right, Alec? You like the Echo app. I like the Echo app. It's useful for me. You can compartmentalize it so you have your prayers, and then you can click on the church feed, so you can keep those separate. We had to work on that for a while. It is able to do that. But we're encouraging you, if you want to join us, connect through prayer, then we'd encourage you to get this app. You can go straight to our website. You saw where you could download that. Get the app on your phone and then follow along. You got to look up Oakwood's feed. I think you click right on it and you'll be part of Oakwood's feed. Pastor Ted, I want you to come and talk about discipleship and what was the other one? Serving.
Yesterday, there were about 30 people that showed up here yesterday to help tear down Christmas decorations, and that's part of serving. That was just like a one-time commitment for a couple hours where 30 people came in and helped us tear down the Christmas decorations and such. And so there's opportunities like that that are like one-time opportunities, but there's opportunities to serve on a regular basis. Some of those ministries happen like once a month, where you could serve out in like hospitality or even on the worship team or different things like that. And we want to get you plugged in because the great family of Oakwood needs servants to step in and carry the load of the ministry. I can't do it all. PD tries to do it all, and it's not healthy for him. And so we need all of you to step in and be a part of serving the Lord here at Oakwood. Many of the serving opportunities happen right here in this building, but we also have ministries like SOS and various other things that happen outside the building that you can get plugged into. And just really want to encourage you that if you are a regular attender or a member at Oakwood, I'm going to say you could and should be serving if it's possible. And so I want to just show you some ministry positions. And we have leadership positions, and we also have helper positions. And this goes for adults and also for teenagers. I was youth pastor for 26 years, and one of the benefits that I've seen is students jumping in and serving. That it's their church just as much as it's my church. And so you want to begin that habit, even as a high school or middle school student, jumping in and serving. Even Laura downstairs, I saw on the schedule, there are opportunities for teenagers to jump in to our children's ministry. Now, on this next slide, it's a little overwhelming, but I have to click every one of them. There's a lot of them. I'm just going to click because I want you to see there's about 20 ministries here at our church that you can be a part of. And so I don't know where you fit in all of this. If there's an asterisk by that, that means there are some qualifications to be a part of that. So, for example, like our child care. Is infant through K. And we have ladies that are specifically over this ministry. You would need to go through certain training and have your background check done that for that so that our ministry is safe as we work with kids. But that also can be teenagers can be a part of that ministry also, our child care, and then our Sunshine Park that meets downstairs as we're gathering together on Sunday. We also have our Treehouse ministry that's a six-week commitment. So you might be like, well, I can't commit all year long, but I could come on a Wednesday night and I could commit for 6 weeks. One of the things that Treehouse is specifically looking for is someone who has some creative abilities to kind of do some decorations for Treehouse. You know, that might be your niche. It might be your niche to do skits or to work with the kids or music with the kids. We also have our women's ministry. We have men's ministry opportunities. We have care ministry, Celebrate Recovery. I know Warren and Deanna are looking for people even within that ministry, if you're a part of that ministry, to jump in and also help with leadership. They're getting ready to start child care, which I kind of put them off and put them off because we want to start it in the right way to make sure that we have enough people. And right now we have about 7 people that have committed to be a part of the CR child care, but we'd like to see the numbers go higher. So if that's something that you could commit to on a Monday night, it would really help and blossom their ministry because some husbands and wives need to come together and they can't. And so they're missing out on that opportunity for CR. So if you, if that's something you could help with, jump in there. We have people feeding people. And right now we have about 4 leaders that are overseeing that ministry, but we also need people to jump in. Even our grief share ministry, it's not currently meeting, but when it does meet, it's a blessing to people in community that have lost loved ones. And so it's a compassion type ministry. We have Serving Our Savior, which is oftentimes opportunities outside of our church to go and meet needs. And these are like one-time opportunities. When you get the email, think about, hey, can I go? Can I be a part of SOS? We also have our hospitality team that greets people, and Stephanie does a great job with that, and I'm so thankful for her leadership. And so if that's something you could be a part of, even our connection team, worship ministry, our media team, which is often behind, you don't even see them. And so we're thankful for what they do, and the tech team and also the cafe team. How many of you like coffee? See, I don't. I wish we had Coke here. But it's probably best that we don't, because I don't need the sugar. So we have a safety team, and there's some prerequisites there for that team. Also, to be a deacon and an elder, there are some prerequisites and things, qualifications to be a part of those teams. But one of the things that I want to tell you is that I want you to be a part of the ministry. The great family of Oakwood needs people that are plugged in and serving. And my role here is associate pastor of ministries. And so, if you want to get plugged into ministry, come see me. And we'll do what we can to get you connected to one of these 20 leaders and get you involved and plugged in ministry. I'm just going to tell you, we need you. This church does not function without you jumping in and being a servant to other people. Part of the body of Christ is coming and worshiping together on Sunday, but part of the body of Christ in the family of God, the great family of Oakwood, is also saying, I love other people and I'm going to serve other people. And so think about how you can plug in and be a part of serving. The next thing I want to talk about, I missed that totally. Get involved. How do I get started? Go to the Oak. Use the app. Or, as PD said, all of that will eventually come to me. Okay? So if you see me on a Sunday and you tell me something, make sure I write it down. Because say, oh, I want to serve, and this is how I'd like to serve. Can you write that down? What'd you say? Oh, you could write it for me and hand it to me. Send me an email. Anyways, I want to get you involved in serving. Hopefully I have so many people come that want to do that, that there's just a line. Then you can email me. The other thing that is another important aspect of what I do is discipleship. PD was kind of already talking about that, but I want to talk about that a little bit further, because one of the things that I want to encourage you to do is think about, even this year, one thing that I'm doing right now is I'm reading through the Bible chronologically. So I've just started about 40-some days ago, and I get up in the morning, and I'm walking on the treadmill for 30 minutes, and I'm listening to Scripture. And a lot of times within that 30 minutes, I can listen to almost three chapters. I can listen to it two or three times, and I'm reading along with it. So this is one of the things that I'm doing. Why am I doing that? Because I need to know what the Word of God says. I need to, and I've been around the Word for years, but I need to grow spiritually. I've got to, I'm an adult. I've got to take responsibility for my spiritual growth, because nobody else is responsible but me. And so that's one of the things that I personally concluded for myself. You know, 365 days of going through the Bible, I bought like a little journal to journal what I'm reading. And right now, I'm in the middle of Leviticus. And it's interesting. So you'll see the whole counsel of the Word if you were to take that challenge. But maybe that challenge isn't for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you need to memorize some Scripture this year because you have a certain sin or struggle that you're struggling with. And so part of your discipleship process begins with you taking responsibility to say, I want to grow in Christ. What am I going to do about it? Now, beyond that, we have other opportunities here for you at Oakwood. We have opportunities to be a part of a small group. We have opportunities to be a part of a men's Bible study, ladies' Bible study, and obviously we have Sunday morning. And so I want to encourage you, even with our Sunday morning, you can sit at home and watch the live stream. You can do that. But I want to encourage you to be here, because you have an obligation not just to yourself, but when you come together, we should be looking to encourage one another. That's what Hebrews says. So as the family of God, come together. And even before you get out of the car, think about, what could I say to people today to encourage them? I'm going to specifically target in on two or three people, maybe that I've never even met before, and I'm going to encourage them. But there's also opportunities to get involved in discipleship. We have, it's kind of a program here, but I want to call it more of a process. We have a discipleship process here called Disciples Path, and I have some people that I want to recognize this morning that have gone through this. If you say, hey, I would like to be a part of this, we could start like a group of guys, two or three guys that meet together on a certain day, or even individual, like one person meeting with another person, or other opportunities, whatever might work out, if this is something that you're interested in We do have this curriculum and opportunity for further discipleship. And so even since I've been here in the last year, I've been meeting specifically with a couple and also an individual. And so that's something that I'm willing to do. And I've had other people in our church approach me and say, hey, if you know someone that needs further growth and discipleship, I'm willing to help them. And so if that's you, come see me. If you need further discipleship and you want to grow, oftentimes there's a discipler and a disciplee, you know, where they meet together and come together and discuss. And even in my meetings over the last year, as I've met with people, I grow personally also because I'm in the Word. They ask questions. It's an opportunity to kind of banter back and forth and talk about God's Word more than just in a big group setting like this on Sunday morning. So I want to recognize a few people that have gone through this discipleship process. Some of them are more recent, and some of them are people that haven't been recognized. And Petey already said this. Just because you get a certificate of completion, that doesn't mean you're done. That means you're done with this course. Yep. And your discipleship process is just beginning. And as you've ended this, we want to challenge you to say, hey, I've ended this, but what am I doing next? Because as a disciple, you continue to grow throughout the rest of your life. So I want to honor these people that have finished. Warren and Deanna, I'll meet you right up here. Thanks. Jocelyn. Ryan O'Neill. It is. Josh Francis. I'm not sure if Josh is here today, but I want to recognize him anyways. Adam McDaniel. I'm not sure if he's here either. Rusty Pauly, but I don't think he's here either. Janet Richards. Is Janet here? All right, so that is part of discipleship process that you can be a part of if that's something that you are interested in. Obviously, we have our community groups. Those are small groups that meet oftentimes in people's houses. I think right now we have about 10 of those groups that meet throughout the community. And also for adults specifically, part of equipping groups that meet on Wednesday night for our 6 weeks, I would encourage you to really get plugged into those as we will be starting those again in March. So thanks. And if you have any questions about discipleship, getting plugged in for growth, you might even have questions about, hey, what are some spiritual tools that I could use for my spiritual growth? I'll do some research for you, because one of the things that I want to do is I want you as a believer to grow in Christ and to be everything that God wants you to be, to grow in Him. So
thank you, Pastor Ted. Appreciate that. Couple of more things that we just want to go over. What are our goals? Within the mission, which always stays the same, there are some goals that we have to set out to accomplish. And in 2025, we'd like to hire a youth pastor. That would be top of the list, most important right now. And you've been doing good. Jim's going to come up in just a little bit and give us our financials so you know. But we need to hire a youth pastor. And then we are going to get to that parking lot. I know we've talked about it a lot, but you probably don't know that we've been meeting for months now, drawing up, having meetings with Brandon Township about what we can and cannot do. A lot of negotiation, a lot of work has been being poured into this. You don't need to worry about it right now, but the plan would be is to, in smaller groups of people, so we're going to be making invitations for you to come for a dessert to listen to the whole pitch about what the parking lot project ended up being and how much it's going to cost. But we're going to finalize the plans earlier this year, get bids for that, and then we got to work on financing it. So we'll do it as quick as we can raise the funds to do that. But it's not a question. We all know that a parking lot is terrible and it has to be replaced. We've done everything we can to keep plugging the holes, but we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done right. And so that'll be happening in 2025. And then prayerfully, I would also like to see us build the PB&J Pavilion. We're getting numbers for that right now. We'd like the parking lot pavilion to be all one project, because at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to go sit down in the parking lot and be satisfied. It's just a parking lot. At the end of the day, it's just a parking lot. It needs to be good and it needs to be safe. We need to make sure people coming don't get hurt. Those are important things. But I'm not going to sit there in the parking lot and say, yay, we are the church with the nicest parking lot right now. Who cares, right? I actually have been pushing this really, really hard that when we do the parking lot, we should also build the first step of Service Park, which is honoring Pastor Bob and Janella. The PB&J Pavilion actually stands for Pastor Bob and Janella. Double entendre there, little PB&J. But we'd like to get that going at the same time. So when the parking lot's new, that'll be great, but you'll also see a structure. And you'll say, oh, wow, this is going to help us as a church, reaching more people, loving on more people, doing more things to connect in those kind of things. That's our goals. Do you want to know about, let's see, what is that? Yeah, that little thing about Oakwood Cares. You ready for that? You ready for that? Did you do good, church? Last year, you know, I'm just going to say, last year I went home a little sad, a little salty, a little sad, because we only reached 14,000. Every year we make it our goal to raise 20,000 for our Oakwood Cares Fund. And that fund does a lot to care for people outside there. And we've been busy. November and December are very busy months. I don't know, Lance or Tim, I don't even know how to quantify it at this point, but we helped lots of people, right? Can I just say that? Lots of people have been helped with our Oakwood Cares Fund. And we ask you to give. We set the goal at 20, and here's what you did, church. You did really good. You gave $25,008. Good job, church. Good job. That's exciting. Just saying, you kind of made up for last year's shortfall. So I'm just saying thank you. I'm very pleased. It just reminds me that you are very generous people. And Jim's going to come up and talk more about that. We're in a spot that we haven't been. We don't want that to encourage you not to be giving. We want this to be the mark of a new start of what we're doing today. And let's continue to do well. You can use that if you need.
Morning. Every year your elders get together in March. And we talk about the budget for next year. We don't do the budget. There's a finance committee that does all the details. But we have to come up with a bottom line number. And that is done through prayer, discussion, and data. And we have to look at existing giving every year in order to do that. So too far. It won't stay. There we go. So this little chart kind of shows some of the things we were looking at last year. When we went to do other numbers, if you look at the blue, that was the budgeted number from the previous year. And the yellow was the giving. That was where we were looking at. And as you can see, every one of those months, July, August, those were the first 6 months of our fiscal year, we were well below our giving. And so when we sat down to talk about what do we do for next year? That was a big consideration, 20% below our existing budget. But through prayer and discussion, we decided to stay, hold the numbers the same. So that blue number is existing budget for this year as well. And as you can see on the green side there, you guys are doing great. We are doing much better this year. We are above and beyond, slightly above and beyond, our projected budget, and that is something we are very thankful for. I was thinking about this, and the only thing, thank you, and nothing against Pastor Don, but the one thing that changed this year was Pastor Ted came. So you guys must like him a lot, or he's giving his whole paycheck. That might be too. So So the bottom line on this, our monthly budget giving is $57,000, and we've been averaging $60,000. So that's been a great start. And you know, the numbers speak for themselves. We're about 4% ahead of our budget. So we are as financially sound as we've been in the last few years. And so as Pastor Don starts to talk about, you know, parking lots and things like that, we've been able to put money away for the last couple years towards that savings. Some of the money that we were paying in our existing mortgage that has been paid off for a year and a half now. And we've budgeted for a youth pastor that we haven't hired yet. And so that money has been going into a savings account. It's not a lot, but it's a lot. It's just not enough to pay for the parking lot yet. So we are in a healthy position going into this new year, and I just want to thank you all for that. Thank you very much.
At the end of the day, let's continue to be a great family on mission. The mission is what's important.